Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network, where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Yo, what it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast, where I'm talking about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Who am I? Who am I? My name is you.
You, Detective You? Not you, you. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of me.
That's the letter, not the word. And I am your host. What it do? You can find this podcast at most places you're going to find your podcast. This season, Chiefs Focus is doing something new. I've been saying it since the beginning of the season, but you got to realize that they're putting all their podcasts on one under one umbrella. So if you subscribe to Chiefs Focus, you will find the 100 Yard Dash podcast that way. You could also subscribe on YouTube, Twitch, so forth and so on. So when do I do this? I do this about once a week, normally Wednesdays. Sometimes I do it earlier, sometimes I do it later. If you set your notifications, you can know when I'm on, and you can interact with me live by joining the StreamYard stream, the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream, or you can hit up Chiefs Focus YouTube page, like and subscribe as well. And of course, can't fail to mention that I appreciate you listening. Without further ado, let's get into it. So basically, today's show is going to be I'm not going to do the news like I normally do. I'm just going to do the week 10 recap, and then I'll have the news in between there. So that's basically it. So first off, let's talk about who's on the bye week this week. So Kansas City at 7-2. Los Angeles Rams at 3-6. Miami Dolphins at 6-3. And Philadelphia Eagles at 8-1 are all on a bye week this week. So, if you notice, all the better teams are on a bye week this week. I mean, I think the Rams are supposed to have a better record up to this point than they have now. I think a lot of people expected that. Don't know if I did, because I don't think the Rams are that good of a team this year. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, they'll be back next week to play. So, this week, I haven't been really doing a player of the week, but I might start doing it. I think I'm going to start doing it. Josh Dobbs gets my player of the week. Dude didn't even know where the locker room was, and he couldn't even find his way to the locker room, but found a way to take these Vikings to the win. That's nuts to me. And while I don't know if he's the type of guy that can get you over the hump or that could take you to a playoff or, take you to the playoff. I think he could take you to the playoff. I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with him. You might be able to. But just to see him succeed in just a singular win and not even know the facility like he should was, I don't want to say encouraging, but it was definitely something. It was definitely something. So Josh Dobbs gets my player of the week. Let's get into it. The Welcome to the Jungle game, the Panthers lose to the Bears. 16-13. Bears score 16. Panthers score 13. You know, this game, you know, this is Thursday Night Football. This is the only singular game on, and it was tough to watch. So I didn't watch it. But I did look into it a few times, and the Bears' defense looked really good. But they looked really good against a bad Frank Reich team. There's probably controversy over the QB in Chicago, which is interesting. And as for the Panthers, I feel like they got Frank Reich issues. I can't look at this team and not say they have Frank Reich issues. Obviously, I don't know if their GM is that great either, because they chose the kid that they chose at quarterback over Anthony Richardson and the Colts quarterback whose name is escaping me. Anthony Richardson, I mean, not the Colts, the Texans quarterback. Anthony Richardson and TJ Stroud, or CJ Stroud. Yeah, man, and it seems like the Panthers fans are mad about it, which they should be. Look, I remember in my fandom, I became a fan of the Chiefs in 1997. That was the year that Tony Gonzalez was drafted, and it took me about a decade to realize that, man, you gotta put these teams' feet to the fire. And yeah, as a singular person, yeah, I might not have made a difference, but in my mind, I did. I stopped buying Chiefs gear. I stopped doing all that until they delivered me something that I could, something that was palatable. Sometimes that's all you need, is something that is palatable. And the Carolina Panthers ain't giving the Panthers fans nothing palatable at all. And that it sounds like they plan to march on the team's facility to let them know their displeasure. So I hope that works for them, but we'll see what happens. Let's go to the snooze fest. Indianapolis Colts versus the New England Patriots. The Colts score 10. The Patriots score 6. The Indianapolis Colts win. Super boring game. The Patriots don't know who to throw the ball to. Mac Jones is on edge. And he has everybody else on edge in New England. He's got Belichick mad at him. He's got Bill O'Brien mad at him. I mean, he's been benched more than once this season. And then they put Zappy in, and he's bad. He throws an interception. It's just a bad team. And while I always thought Belichick was a good coach, or even a great coach, I thought he was a great coach. I don't know if I thought it'd be this bad when Tom Brady left. It's been bad. It's been bad. The Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, is disappointed with the season. Quote, I've never been 2-7 in 30 years of owning a team. End quote. Dude looks legit depressed. He looks legitimately depressed in that press box. It's bad. Up in New England. But again, I always think about this in this form. What happens when it all ends? How does that respond? Like when it was over for Drew Brees, I knew Sean Payton wasn't developing another quarterback again. I called bluff on him trying to draft and develop Patrick Mahomes. I think that's BS. I don't think it's true, but, you know, he can say whatever he wants. Between, like, the Saints, I just never thought that was going to happen. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with the Vikings now that Kirk Cousins is gone. I mean, I'm sure they'll draft a quarterback, but I wonder how easy or if they will continue their winning ways. They got Justin Jefferson, but, you know, sometimes you need more than just a quarterback, and sound like he wants to go wherever Cousins goes. It's always interesting to see a good quarterback leave a team and how they fare afterwards. It's always very interesting, and I don't know how this is going to end with the Patriots. According to the draft situation now, I think that they have, like, the number one or two picks. So it's kind of wild up there in New England. The battle for division supremacy. The Cleveland Browns beat the Baltimore Ravens in their house 33-31. The Browns are 6-3. The Ravens are 7-3. So the Ravens were in control of this game until they weren't. For the Browns, I would say this is the type of game that you paid Deshaun Watson $230 million fully guaranteed for. This is one of those games. Of course, you need more returns than just one game in the division. Don't come at me for that. I understand that more than anybody understands. But you starting to see it, this was more vintage Deshaun Watson. But he's out again. For the Ravens, they're not doing themselves any favors. You never do yourself any favors when you win early and you lose late. You would rather the picture paint itself a little bit more before you start losing games. Or lose them early and then try to come back. It's better that way. I've always felt that. Like, I remember the Chiefs, and I've talked about this before, but I remember the Chiefs went on a 9-game winning streak, and then we ended up losing like a 3 in a row, 4 in a row, something like that, for the second half of the season because we lost that year to Cincinnati, and we didn't get the 1 seed. Like, you couldn't just – you normally, when you start like that, you can't coast to the 1 seed. You still have to fight. And it's always a dog fight because everybody's trying to beat you. So we'll talk about that later because I think you're really going to feel like the 49ers feel that way. But we'll talk about that later. So they're not doing themselves any favors by losing this game. They got one more loss in a tight AFC battle. And even closer, one more loss in a tight AFC North division. The Browns and the Steelers are literally one game away from that number one spot. And the Bengals are lurking too. That is a tough division in the AFC North. So the Baltimore Ravens did themselves no favors. But, you know, we'll see how they bounce back from this. Again, the Cleveland Browns take care of the Baltimore Ravens for division supremacy. It's going to be a fight to the end. Still talking about a little bit of the AFC North. The good, the bad, the Steelers. So Green Bay loses to the Steelers. Green Bay's 3-6. The Steelers are 6-3. And a little bit of news for the Packers. Quan Alexander tore his Achilles. And then a little news for the Steelers. They pulled Pickens from the starting lineup. First, let's go to the Packers. Love wasn't that – I almost called him Jamarcus Love. Jordan Love was not that bad in this game. The ugly was throwing that untimely INT with less than 5 minutes to go. You can't do that. Y'all were marching down the field and he just throws a strike to the Steelers and they take advantage of it. Now, for the Steelers. The Steelers look closer to the team that I expected they would be. They ran the ball well. They played even better defense. However, this Steelers team does not feel like a powerful team. I can't pinpoint exactly why it doesn't feel like a powerful team, but it really doesn't. I guess I don't have a lot of confidence in Matt Canada as the play caller, but maybe their defense needs to be a little stronger for me to believe in them. I don't know, but I just don't feel as though they're a powerful team. They feel like a fake 6-3. They feel like they should have lost at least two more games. So they would be, what, 4-5, something like that? Yeah, 4-5. I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel real to me for the Steelers. And to be fair, if we look in the past, they didn't feel real that year they went against the Chiefs. I want to say 3 years ago, 2019. I don't know. They didn't feel real a lot of these years. And so we'll see what happens, but yeah. The Texans survived cat scratch fever. Texans scored 30 to go with 5-4. The Bengals scored 27 and go 5-4. The Texans are probably the scariest team in the AFC. And that's in a conference with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson. Like, you, CJ Stroud is that dude. Stroud just keeps rolling. This is a game winner here. What stood out to me was that 6-play drive that lasted less than 2 minutes. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Stroud just was, I mean, he's doing this with no names, essentially. You know, Nico Collins and those guys. He's not doing it with big name receivers. He's doing it with no names. And it's crazy to see. But these dudes are doing what it takes to win. And Stroud just keeps rolling. Now, let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know why I'm talking about the losers last, but y'all believe in the Cincinnati Bengals? Now, at one point I did. I mean, I do on some level. On some level, I believe in the Cincinnati Bengals, but because, you know, we've seen them come from a bad record to make the playoffs within the last 3 years, right? But yeah, I remember back in the day, or no. Earlier this summer, not back in the day, earlier this summer, you know, Tyler Boyd made claims that if he was with the team, because he was injured late last year, if he was with the team, then he would have beat the Chiefs. They would have won that AFC championship game. Bruh. Cincinnati loses this game because Tyler Boyd ends up dropping the game-winning touchdown. Have a seat, sir. Have a seat. So the Texans survive cat scratch fever. The Vikings pillaged the Saints. So, of course, I talked about Josh Dobbs at the beginning of this whole thing as my player of the week. And he's the story of this game. He came in and he did what it do. He made sure the Vikings left with a win as they beat the Saints 27-19. Saints are 5-5. The Vikings are 6-4. And this is the NFC battle. It's not as tight in the NFC as it is in the AFC, but it's still tight. News. Saints. On Monday, the Saints signed Jason Pierre-Paul. And for the Vikings, they re-signed linebacker Anthony Barr due to Jordan Hicks's absence. So, again, my story of the game, this game is Josh Dobbs coming in, tearing it up, and leaving with a W. So, shout out Josh Dobbs. The 49ers find another way to skin a cat, because there's obviously more than one way. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Jaguars 34-3. Takes the 49ers to 6-3. Takes the Jaguars to 6-3. The 49ers shut down a great, a good Jags team. Does that mean the Jags were exposed? Let's talk about it. I have felt like this year the Jags have been, although they've only lost three games, I don't feel that they've, aside from maybe game number 3 and 4, I don't feel like I've seen them do anything amazing. I thought Trevor Lawrence had taken a step, even if it's a half a step. I thought he had moved forward in his development. But my dog, Steve Wilks, deserves so much credit for this game because he is the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. I have been rooting for Steve Wilks since he got screwed over by the Cardinals. I actually was hoping that he would stay at Mizzou because you know that's my team. I was hoping he'd stay at Mizzou and coach there for a little bit. But ever since the Cardinals, he's been bouncing around place to place. You know, he's with the Panthers as their interim coach before they hired Matt Rhule. He is with Mizzou. He is now the defensive coordinator with the 49ers. And, you know, they had that three-game skid, so he's been kind of maligned a little bit. But I believe had Wilkes got some grace with that King, the same grace that Kingsbury did, he'd probably still be the Cardinals head coach today. So that's my stance on it, but we keep it moving. How is it for the Jags? How is it possible that Trevor Lawrence has less less touchdown passes than Justin Fields, and Justin Fields hasn't played for 3 weeks? How is that a thing? Like, records aren't everything. There are a lot of things, but they ain't everything. And the Jags are 6-3. And every time, like I said, every time I think Trevor Lawrence has moved up the power rankings of quarterbacks, I just see a stat that just makes me see, like, I don't know if they chose the right guy. For that draft pick they did, but I don't know if they chose the right guy. And when I see that he's thrown less TD passes than Justin Fields, it makes me wonder. It just makes me wonder. So the Bucs make the Titans walk the plank as the Bucs score 20 and the Titans score 6. It takes the Bucs to 4-5. It takes the Titans to 3-6. With this, the Titans aren't a good team. I don't know what to think about the Titans. I don't know what to think about the Bucs, if we're going to be honest about it. These two teams, I don't know what to think about them. I don't know, like, for the Titans, let's start there. I don't know if the Titans should fire Mike Vrabel or not, because they wouldn't even trade Derrick Henry. And you've seen the best of Derrick Henry. We've seen the best of Derrick Henry. You're not going to get a renaissance of Derrick Henry. It ain't happening. We've seen the best of Derrick Henry, yet they refuse to trade him amid trade offers. Even a couple of third round picks would have been great, but they chose to keep it moving with him and probably ride out his contract. We'll see. I just obviously Will Levis is the guy, but they kept held on to Tannehill for too long, in my opinion. So I just don't know what to think about the Titans. And you know, with the Patriots, I do think the divorce is coming. And I think the Titans would be a decent place for Bill Belichick to land if they got rid of Vrabel. But I don't think it's time to get rid of Vrabel quite yet. But if I like the prospect of having, if I think Bill Belichick has something left, which I don't, I would definitely be the team to fire my coach to get rid of him. And I think the Tennessee Titans would be in that mix. But let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they're 4-5. They got a decent defense. They had a decent defense. I don't know what to think about the Bucs. I really don't. Let's just leave it at they beat up on bad teams. When they meet good teams, they shrink. And then they rise to the occasion with the bad teams. I guess that's the best way I can explain it. Bird fight, the Atlanta Falcons and the Arizona Cardinals. The Falcons lose to the Cardinals 25-23. The Cardinals score 25. The Falcons score 23. Takes the Falcons to 4-6. And the Cardinals to 2-8. I don't know what to think. I know Kyler's back, first of all. Kyler Murray's back, and of course he's ready to play. He's ready to do his thing. He's ready to show why he is who he is, right? I have no problem with that. None. I don't. But as a franchise who doesn't have a heck of a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, shoot, on the defensive side of the ball, they don't have a lot of talent at all. Y'all messing up this pick for us by winning this game. Now, I would absolutely take advantage. You have to measure it out. Is getting a good win better than getting a draft pick? I don't know. Because we're talking about Drake May and all those kids coming out. And I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be the guy for the Cardinals moving forward. I don't know if teams like the Vikings can trade for Kyler Murray next year or during offseason. I don't know if guys like Kyler Murray will be still with the Cardinals. I'm not sure. I'm interested to see what happens, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. Now that let's go to Atlanta. I've never believed in Atlanta. Thought it was a stupid pick for Bijan Robinson, but they found a way to be number one at some point in their division. But with this loss, it goes bad on Arthur Smith's record. It goes bad on Arthur Smith's record. And so I just don't know where they decide to go from here. It's going to be interesting to figure out what happens. And as I'm looking up the NFC South division, because he was ahead of that division at one point. So the Saints are now ahead atop the NFC South with 5 wins. So they're 5-5. The Bucs are 4-5. The Falcons are 4-6. It went from like first to third in like 2 weeks. And then the Panthers are 1-8. So in this division, in this situation, they should not have allowed the Cardinals to win this game because I think Arthur Smith is going to pay for it with his job at some point. Yeah, I do think that. So we keep it moving. The Lions survived the low-voltage electric fence as they beat the Chargers 41-38. Chargers are 4-5. The Lions are 7-2. Look, I've always thought the Chargers were frauds. Like, doesn't matter who they get as coach. Doesn't matter who they have a quarterback. They're frauds. Now, I don't know how that will be. I don't know, man. I just don't know what it would take for the Chargers to not be frauds anymore. I don't know what that would entail, what they would have to get, because they have what they call a franchise quarterback. And by all accounts, he is a franchise quarterback. I do believe their head coach holds them back, but they've had decent head coaches before, and that hasn't pushed them over the top. I don't know what to tell you on the Chargers. Now, let's talk about the Lions, though. The Lions are doing it, and they're doing it right. They have not looked back, nor should they. But, you know, they've dropped two games because Lions are 7-2. And I ain't going to lie to you. I thought the Lions would be good this year. But to lose two games to this point, I think I expected more like three, which is a stark. It only seems like one, but one extra loss means a lot. And I think I gave them four or five losses on the season, but the way they're rolling now, don't look like they might lose one more game. They might lose one more game. So we'll see what happens, but the Lions are rolling. The Chargers are now, they're tied for last place, and they're on a losing streak. They're tied for last place. Let's see. Yeah. They're tied for last place, and they're on a losing streak, and they're the only ones. The Chargers are the only team in their division that has a one-loss losing streak. Because the Broncos, they're tied with the Broncos, and the Broncos are on a three-game winning streak. So it's going to be interesting to see how this, the second place of the AFC West, unfolds. So we keep it moving. The Giants ain't so big when they're in a standoff against these Cowboys. As the Giants score 17 points and the Cowboys score 49 points. Takes the Giants to 2-8, takes the Cowboys to 6-3. If you didn't see this coming with the Giants, I don't know what you're looking at. I didn't just see this coming this year. I saw it coming last year. You should have seen this coming. Like that whole Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, you know, fairy tale that they had last year. Come on, bro. That wasn't real. It was a good story for what it was. But the fact that when they paid Daniel Jones what they paid him to stay, and you're going to hear me ring this from the rooftops as many times as possible. And some people think Brian Daboll will get fired this year. I do not. Because then that would be eight coaches in 4 years, eight coaches in 8 years. Hold on, four coaches in 8 years. So they would give them 2 years each. Yeah, that sounds about right. And so I don't believe that they'll fire Daboll. I mean, this is one bad season. He shouldn't get fired off of one bad season. If you get fired off of one bad season, that's kind of becoming your reputation. So definitely don't think he's getting fired this year. But it's pretty bad in New York. And then you paid a bad quarterback, and now he's injured. Now your backup's bad, and it's just a cluster mess in New York. Probably one of the worst places in the world to have that kind of mess. For the Cowboys, a little bit of news. Leighton Van Der Esch is out for the season with a neck injury. So there's that. But the Cowboys can look like either the best team in the league, or they can look like a team that gets bounced out of the divisional round like they always do. And, yeah, I'm judging a little bit of that on the fact that that they have been that in recent history. But let's be honest, man. We've seen strong Cowboys teams, and then they end up losing in a way that is hard to believe. In the playoffs, in the playoffs. So they've lost to the Cardinals this year. Like, I know that Dominique Foxworth believes that they are probably the best team in football. But you lost to the Cardinals. 16-28. They almost double upped you. And then they lost to the San Francisco 49ers, which is one of those things. You know, I get a loss to the 49ers, but the Cardinals was a bad one. And then 2 weeks ago, they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's the huge one right there. That's the big one. That's in your own division and in your conference, obviously. And you should have won that game. So I don't think they look like the best team in football. Maybe that's revisionist history, but it is what it is as we keep it moving. Washington can't command a win in Seattle. As they lose to the Seattle Seahawks, 29, Seahawks score 29, and the Commanders score 26. Commanders are 4-6, Seahawks are 6-3. The Commanders, Sam Howell is kind of is one of those sneaky goods, right? He's just a sneaky good. He was last week he was top in passing yards. He was top in passing yards, and I'm searching it right now as far as stats are concerned. And just seeing what's happening there. As far as passing yards are concerned, just humor me a little bit. Yeah, Sam Howell's still number one. Howell is still number one. So, you know, Sam Howell number one, CJ Stroud number two, Tua's number three, Josh Allen number four, Jared Goff is number five, Patrick Mahomes six, Dak Prescott seven, Justin Herbert eight, Jalen Hurts nine, and Kirk Cousins is 10. Sam Howell has 2,783 yards passing. He's got 9 interceptions. Huh? Look, that boy been sacked 47 times? Bruh, that is 13 more than Zach Wilson, and he's been sacked 33 times. Oh, my goodness. And Daniel Jones, okay, that's the rabbit hole I'm not going to go down. Look, the Commanders, I don't know. I know they're going to wait to the end of the season, but for what? For what? We all know Ron Rivera is not a good coach. We see it. You know, he needs generational talent. He's not a good coach. I used to think he was, but he's just not. Tell me what he's doing well with Washington. Tell me what he did well at the end of his time with the Panthers. Nothing. Not a thing. And the sooner this divorce can happen, and the sooner you can put it behind you, it's probably the best. For the Seahawks, one name stood out to me in this game. Boye Mafe and he plays for them as a linebacker/defensive end. Boye Mafe was a guy I wanted in the draft, this recent draft. He's thriving with the Seahawks. He's got like one sack for like 7 games in a row. So he has one sack for seven sacks. Okay. I am a fan of Boye Mafe. I I wanted him to this point. Let's see. Yeah, Boye Mafe is tied for 12th in sacks right now. So, yeah. I was a fan of Boye Mafe coming out of college, and he got picked in the second round. So, we keep it moving. Jets. But look at the Raiders. They're the captains now. The Jets make me sick, man. The Jets make me sick. Okay, so the Raiders beat the Jets 16-12. Takes the Raiders to 5-5. Takes the Jets to 4-5. The Jets make me sick. What are we doing here? This feels like one of two things. Maybe both. It feels like stubbornness and apathy. Obviously, I hope it's not either one of those, but it's one of them. And I really hope it's not the second one, right? 11 straight quarters without a touchdown. There's only four quarters in a game. So that means two games, almost three full games without a touchdown. Either by your offense or your defense. At some point, as a head coach, you lose the locker room off of this kind of stuff. And I feel like he's about to lose the locker room and let's give it two more games. When you have your sights set so high, and they did, they thought Super Bowl or bust here. Then they lose Aaron Rodgers, but you still had a top 10 defense, allegedly. You still had a top 10 defense, and you throw Zach Wilson in there, who, by the by, has a lot of sacks himself. He's been sacked like 30-something times, 33 times. And, yeah, he's been sacked 33 times. And he has like six interceptions. So you get all those working against you. And you're still rolling with Zach Wilson. I was shocked that they kept him on the roster. I don't understand why you would keep him on the roster. I know 1 year of a throwaway is not a big deal. But to think that he was going to be your backup was a bad idea. Let's keep it moving. The Raiders, little news. The Raiders claims cornerback Jack Jones off of waivers from the Patriots. Yeah. Let's talk about this. Do the owners not talk with one another about their experience with former head coaches? Because the more I hear about Josh McDaniels' dysfunction, the more I just – that makes me wonder that. And I'm not sure if Antonio Pierce is the correct coach, but I know Mike Davis regrets not hiring Rich Bisaccia. And I just don't understand why you wouldn't hire the guy that got you to the playoffs. You haven't been to the playoffs in so long, but yet you go hire a name who was in your own division, who drafted Tim Tebow. You know what? The fact that Mark Davis had Rich Bisaccia in the room, and I ain't saying that Rich Bisaccia was going to lead them to a Super Bowl. Well, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is he's better than Josh McDaniels. And I don't know if I said their records or not. The Jets are 4-5. The Raiders are 5-5. I don't, but Antonio Pierce is doing what a coach should do when they're standing in for another position. Win until you're not the coach anymore. You know, just keep winning, as is a mantra of the Raiders from Al Davis. Just win, baby. Just win. I have never seen a buffalo get kicked in the face by a horse until Monday night. So the Buffalo Bills lose to the Denver Broncos. Broncos are 4-5. The Bills are 5-5. You know, Broncos score 24. Bills score 22. Broncos on a 3-game winning streak, starting with the Chiefs. Chiefs, they lose. They win one against the Chiefs. Then they win one against the Bills. Look, if you're going to springboard yourself, this is the way to do it. Russell Wilson throwing for less than 200 yards in each game, but still, he's making better decisions. He's being more decisive. He looks like he understands the playbook. The Broncos look like they're on the come up. Also, they look like they have a top 10 defense. Looks like they might have been right about not letting go of their pieces, because Cortland Sutton came in huge with the touchdown that he had. And, you know, trading off Patrick Surtain the second, you know, that would have been a bad idea because he's been balling. Look, the Broncos look like they have made the right decisions. We'll see how that keeps working out for them. They are currently tied for last place in the AFC West. Don't think they'll make the playoffs. And I do think they're messing up their draft choice, their draft stock a little bit, because maybe they could have got something. I'm not saying they should lose out, but I kind of am saying that. But let's go to the Bills. The Bills are in dire straits, man. Here's, you know, all crap rolls downhill. We've heard that statement before. The Bills had to fire Ken Dorsey. The Bills fired Ken Dorsey and they named Joe Brady the offensive coordinator. And that ain't nothing but a scapegoat. Firing Ken Dorsey was, he's just a scapegoat. That's it. There's nothing's going to change out of this. Like, there's nothing. They're still bad. The Bills are bad, and they spent a lot of money to be good. Having a 5-5 record at the 10 game mark is a bad thing. All right? It's a bad thing. As much as they put into this team to try to be good, it's going poorly. Like, many people didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I wasn't that guy. I thought they would at least make the playoffs and then just be gone in the divisional round. But the way they're looking like now, they won't be anywhere near the playoffs. Because if we're looking at it from a standing standpoint, they're not going to be worse than they're not going to be worse than the Patriots. The Patriots only have 2 wins, and I don't expect the Patriots to have much more than that. But the Jets are literally 1 win behind the Buffalo Bills. 1 win behind the Buffalo Bills. So let the Bills lose one, let the Jets win one. They're tied. Wow. Actually, they're not tied because Jets haven't had their bye week. I mean, the Bills haven't had their bye week yet. Look, man, this is bad. They had their first lead of the night within the final 2 minutes. The Bills are not the same offense that they used to be. And then you got Trayvon Diggs tweeting that they got to get his brother out of there. No, your brother made that bid. He wanted out of Minnesota. He got out of Minnesota. Yeah, he was traded to the Bills. He had no say in that. But at the end of the day, he was the one going on this media tour talking about how much Josh Allen is a guy for him, all that bull jive. It's almost, I don't know if DEFCON, how, if it goes up in numbers or down in numbers, but look, man, it's bad up in Buffalo. And when you start getting rid of offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, then you know the coach. If they don't get the ship righted in the right and in a decent amount of time, you know the head coach is next. All crap rolls downhill. All crap. So that means the pressure is already being put on them to perform better. And in a division with the Dolphins, who look, I mean, I don't think they look formidable, but shoot. in a division with the Dolphins who, let's see, in the division where the Dolphins have the Raiders, which is going to be a tough one because they're actually fighting back now. The Raiders, the Jets, the Commanders, the Titans, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Ravens, and the Bills. The AFC East looks like it could be a battle. I don't think the AFC East is won now by any means because, again, I don't think the Dolphins are that great. So I am interested to see what happens in the AFC East because this is going to be a fight to the death. And I don't think – I still think the Bills will make the playoffs. I really still think the Bills will make the playoffs. But the way they played Monday night – they ain't making nobody's playoffs, but I still believe that there's good enough to at least make the playoffs. Let's look at the playoff picture for now. The current playoff picture, AFC, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Texans are all, if the playoffs happen today, this will be who's in it. NFC, the Eagles, the Lions, the 49ers, the Saints, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Vikings all would make the playoffs. Now, who's on the bubble? The Bengals are 8. The Bills are 9. The Colts are 10. The Raiders are 11th. And the Chargers are 12th. Then you got the Bucks, Commanders, Falcons, Packers, and the Rams for the NFC. Look, we are at that point of the year where we're almost close to the end of the year. So this is obviously going to change. It's going to be really close for a lot of these teams. But it's time to start looking at this and examining it more closely because I do think there will be a bunch of tiebreakers that choose who's going to do what and who plays whom in the playoffs. So I'm interested to see how this goes. This has been a good season. Like the name of the show says, the rich get richer and the poor keep stealing. Whoo! And I can't wait to see how this all unfolds. That is my time for today. I thank you all for watching/listening. And again, follow us on everywhere you get your podcast, like and subscribe on YouTube, Twitch, so forth and so on. And I think that's all I got. If nothing calls my attention, I'm out. Deuces.